The Aqueduct 420 edition of the Notorious OTB on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network is brought to you by Underdog Fantasy. Play their fantasy pick'em for a chance to win 100 times in NBA, MLB, MMA, NHL, golf, and more. Sign up today at UnderdogFantasy.com using promo code SGPN to get a 100% deposit match. Plus, the NFL draft is coming up, and Old Fashioned Football is giving away some autographed NFL merch. Head to SportsGamblingPodcast.com/OFFContest to enter today. And we're also giving you away $200 cash in our NBA playoff round one prop contest. Sign up. Link is in our NBA channel on our Discord. Welcome, everybody, to the Notorious OTB, brought to you by the Sports Gambling Podcast Network. And, folks, as always,
it's all good, baby, baby. It was all a dream.
We used to read Blood Horse Magazine. I got my Cuban links on.
Yes, Cuban B.
And I'm your host, Chase Sessoms, the Wolf of Oaklawn.
I'd rather be trapped than lazy. Don't care what they say, I'm going to do what pays me.
It happens every year about this time. Weaklings act like they lost their mind. Alphas reclaim the neighborhood. Rob the sheep and all the wolves. Hey,
yes, yes, yes. Welcome to the show. And of course, I've got joining me a guest today for a momentous occasion. I'm going to introduce him and then we'll set up what the momentous occasion is. But he failed to menace, succeeded to steal America's heart.
If you like Kenya Kalani.
On the dunes of the Cape, then I'm the man that you look for. Run to me and escape.
I'm gonna have to stop myself from hitting the like the sweet, sweet ass synth solo that follows that that part. Ladies and gentlemen, Matthew DeSantis, welcome to the show, Matthew. How are you today?
Man, I'm doing great. It's an awesome day up here in New York. It's gonna be even better tomorrow. And yeah, man, doing great. I mean, obviously, we'll talk about a little sequence at Aqueduct on Saturday, but obviously, 2 weeks to go, there's a lot of excitement around the Kentucky Derby as well and starting to really get down to the nitty-gritty in that space. So it's getting to be a lot of fun and starting to hear a lot of buzz, and seems like the top 20 are kind of locked in now, so it's going to be a really fun next 2 weeks.
Ah, Saturday, you say? Saturday. Yeah, I guess we are going to be talking about Saturday, but what is special about Saturday? What is it that's so great about Saturday? Could it be, let me see, we're gonna be talking about Aqueduct Saturday, that's this Saturday, April 20th. That's it, there we go. It's gonna be 420,
and it's only appropriate that we are hitting the grass at Aqueduct on 420. Turf racing is back, baby, in New York. I don't know if you have the drop. You probably don't. But the Texas is back drop. That's how I feel right now with New York is so back. We are coming back with full fields, turf racing, and it's going to be a day of blazing fun up here in New York. So we cannot wait to celebrate Saturday with a lot of fun and a lot of grass up here in New York.
Your double entendre, tongue-in-cheek weed reference game was on point in that video, I will say, Matthew. Like, that was, we got a blunt in there. We had all sorts of great stuff.
Yeah, we got the Bogart reference. I know you were a fan of the bee using the word Bogart in.
Yes. Because that's very much my dad's age, pothead. That's like, you know, they smoked Panama Red and they didn't Bogart joints, you know, that sort of thing. Yeah. My parents had a guinea pig named Panama Red, if that tells you anything about.
That explains so much about every.
Me. I had this realization yesterday with 420. Is, you know why 420 exists? It's because so much bad shit happened in the world on 419, on just the day April 19th, that the world just needs to like kind of just like chill out a little bit on April 20th after all those remembrances.
I hear you on that, man. It's that is, you know, it's going to be an awesome day. Hopefully today's a good day up here in New York. But yeah, man, I mean, it's been a long time since we were back on the grass. And, it, you know, it's interesting. This, you
speak
know,
for yourself, sir. Side.
Yeah. And all that. You know, we did start turf racing a little bit later up here this year than we normally do, because normally we come back on Easter or around that Easter weekend.
Right, right.
To the start of the spring meet. We started a little bit later up here because, unlike previous years, we are not going to Belmont for the Belmont spring meet. So the turf course at Aqueduct really has to hold up a lot longer and have a lot more races carded over it than it normally does. So rather than starting it like we normally do, we pushed it back a couple of weeks in an effort to kind of save the turf course long term so that we can feel pretty confident about the condition of the track over the next several months as we're running over.
One of the most exciting things for me about Aqueduct is when the grass comes out from under the shrink wrap. I have a long, elaborate slip and slide daydream that involves that shrink wrap someday.
What is so funny, the other week they took it up without me really even realizing it. And I was out on, it was a dark day. It was like Monday. I think I was out at the track and I was recording something and I was doing it outside. And there's this droning sound. And I was like, what the hell is this sound that's in the background? Like of all my videos. And then I like turned around and it was just some dude on a lawnmower. And I'm like, oh, glorious. The shrink wrap is off.
It was just Forrest Gump on a snapper. That's all it was.
I really for a second thought, like, is this Chase? Like, did Chase make it up to New York? And it's just like Forrest Gumping it on a tractor, just mowing the inner turf course at Aqueduct. And I'm like, I would believe it.
I would look like an interesting combo of Forrest Gump on a lawnmower / Forrest Gump when he ran across America. I'd be combining those. All right. Puck drops on the Stanley Cup playoffs this weekend, and the Hockey Gambling Podcast guys have you covered. Talon, Ryan, and Joel are breaking down every series leading up to Saturday's opening games, and we'll keep the picks and laughs coming all postseason long. Subscribe to the Hockey Gambling Podcast wherever you get your podcasts, and we're giving away $200 cash in our NBA playoff round one prop contest. Sign up. Link is in our NBA channel on our Discord. And all right. Let's get into it, Matthew. Let's talk some horses. We're talking to Aqueduct Saturday, 4/20, 2024, year of our Lord, 2024. The late pick five starts race five post time, 3:28 Eastern, 2:28 God's time, and 12:28 specific time, because specific and judicial are the hardest words to say in the English language. Race five, 8.5 furlongs, $80,000 maiden special weight. Uh-oh, here we go. Give me an eighth of the outer turf, baby. Before I let Matthew really take off on this race, all I'm going to say is, you think I'm about to take an even money Chad with other Chads in the race? You silly bitch. Go ahead.
Well, we were talking a little bit before we started recording. This is a really interesting sequence because I could see someone putting together like a $6 ticket and explaining it to me and me going, that totally makes sense. You could easily single probably three horses in the sequence. And I don't think you have to spread too far to get the winners in some other races. I could also see someone being very cautious and very defensive and including a lot of very short price favorites while going three or four deep in every leg and putting together like a $65 ticket or something like that. Which I just, you know, I'm allergic to doing that. You know, if you have an even money horse, you either single that horse, in my opinion, or you fade that horse. I mean, there's really, with a horse like that, there's very little middle ground. So I'll be the zig to your zag, and I will be singling Grey Osh, the even money Chad Brown horse, in the first race with Manny Franco aboard. This is a horse that ran very nicely in debut, finished third down at Gulfstream Park by only a length. Then last time out, as you can see in the race notes, clipped heels and lost Tyler Gaffleone, who fortunately was okay. But, you know, really the horse never really ran that race. So this is coming back now for its second race. This horse has good tactical speed. And, you know, you get Manny Franco aboard, who is Chad's number one jockey at this time of year up here. And This one feels, I mean, Chad also has been winning everything that's not nailed down already during the start of the spring meet, of winning 41% in 22 entries. And that number's only going to go up now that we're coming back on the turf. So he is sending out very live runners every single time. This one feels particularly live. There's not a slew of other horses I feel confident in this race. That was the other reason I kind of went to this one. I feel like number four, Big Beautiful for Tony Dutrow, didn't really show much in debut and is coming off a little bit of a layoff. The Horatio DePaz first-time starter is out of a dam, who I believe is 0-for-9 with first-time out runners. The Todd Pletcher horse, I'm not necessarily sold. That horse is that good and is going to need to really perk up a lot on the turf. You mentioned the other Chad. That's an interesting one because that's out of a dam that has yet to produce a turf winner. I think it's 0-for-10 with horses running over the turf. And you'd think that horse was more suited for the dirt. It's a half sibling to Five Star General, and there's a lot more dirt success in that pedigree. But, you know, clearly Chad's trying something new with this one. And, you know, far be it for me to question that because he could really perk up and gets Dylan aboard, who obviously looks, you know, is a very strong rider up here as well. So it's an interesting race, and it's one where ultimately I ended up going with the chalk. And if I'm going to go with the chalk, I'll single it. So that was my thoughts on this first one.
I think you managed to mention every single horse that I have on the ticket and provide a knock on each one of them.
I didn't mean to do that.
Let's start off with the two, Colorful Lady for Pletcher with Carmosha. The Truffle last out, but the first figure on all weather at Gulfstream was strong enough to win this race. And Pletcher Carmouche, so I'm expecting this one to get an honest, aggressive trip. And sometimes that's all you can ask for, is just an honest, aggressive trip. Gonna use the three, just one more. 6-1, the Horatio DePaz first time starter. Someone had better pedigree data than I did, because all I have noted here is it's out of a very productive mare, as in that mare has produced a lot of horses that have won a lot of races. Didn't realize they didn't win a lot of first out. Oops. But English Baby Channel, and this, or English Baby Channel, English Channel Baby, that should appreciate the distance here. Yeah, so
yeah, I should say. Yeah, and I'll say to your point, the full sibling to Voodoo Song, who was a really good, who's a grade one winner. I mean, won the 4-star Dave, so is a very good turf router. So absolutely a pedigree for success on the turf going along. No doubt about that.
See, I had the four Big Beautiful. You got JJ up, Tony Dutrow. I think this one could be worth a damn second on turf. Second at the distance and first off the layoff, all the things that Matthew kind of mentioned here. And use the five Chantilly Road. I'm gonna use the only thing that you didn't mention that I'm using is the six Wake Up Lauren at 15-1. Maker throwing the kitchen sink changes at this one, gets blinkers and first time Lasix today. If this wasn't a race for fillies, then maybe I would be looking for even the gelding to go with it, because he looks to be trying absolutely everything there. And I love to bet this kind of horse. Someone's probably got a stat out there that says that I'm wrong for doing this, but I have this allergic reaction where I see BLNKRON and then an L inside of a block. And then I have this sort of allergic reaction that makes me just throw my hands in the air and money out of my hands. Like, it's crazy. It's an insane allergic reaction to have. And Mike Maker Horse is doing that sort of stuff. Give me that reaction with the six Wake Up Lauren.
That's something I'm very similar in that I think those are two angles, particularly in maiden races, blinkers on, Lasix first time. Love those angles. Absolutely. I love the kitchen sink angle in maiden races. And especially with, like, even on the new surface too, to some extent. So
also, if we want to go with the 420 theme, owned by Nice Guy Stables, like in Half Baked, Mr. Nice Guy.
That's great. I didn't notice that. That's awesome.
I just noticed that. So I'm glad that did not get past me. I'm proud to say. All right. Speaking of getting things past you, I don't know what that means. The NBA playoffs are here, and our sponsor, Underdog Fantasy, wants to make it a lot more interesting. Underdog Fantasy is the easiest place to play fantasy sports. Playing their pick'em game is simple as selecting higher or lower on player stats like points, rebounds, assists, and so much more. Make entries of all basketball or mix and match across your favorite sports. You can win up to 100 times your money, and it's a ton of fun. Underdog is available in 30-plus states, including California, Texas, and even Canada. get on Underdog, see what's out there for today. Listen, I'm a pessimist, so I always go lower. Lower on everything. And listen, new customers get a pick'em special in the lobby when they sign up. Underdog will also be running a ton of different promos, bonus cash airdrops, specials, giveaways, and more throughout the NBA playoffs. So make sure to follow at Underdog Picks on Twitter to keep an eye out. And there is a pick'em special for Friday play-in games on 419 with the player. Ooh, player to be determined. A little drama there from Underdog. This special should go live in our lobby for eligible for new customers that sign up by the morning of 4/18. So make sure you sign up with code SGPN and Underdog will double your first deposit up to $100. That's Underdog Fantasy promo code SG to the P to the N. And as always, this is going to be a long hydration break because I left my water in the other room. Get a little rehydration break in.
We've got a lot of work to do. Some of you I know, some of you I'm meeting for the first time.
Hello there. Anyone? Can someone call an ambulance? I'm in quite a lot of pain.
Okay.
And I'm back. I'm back. How seamless was that? My God, look at that. Perfect.
Perfect. Perfect. Perfect.
That's my sound drop for Mark Capitan, whenever he comes on. Just the badly burnt. Because he's always catching strays. Let's move on. Race six. Six furlong, $50,000 allowance on the dirt. And all I got to say is now I get bold. I think the pace in this race is pretty easy here. I want a horse from the front end of the pace, and it just so happens to be the chalk. So you know what that means.
I'm singing. I want to mingle.
You want to mingle.
Yeah.
I'm out of breath from running. Like from this bedroom to another bedroom to get my water, Matthew.
Don't, I went up a flight of stairs the other day and I thought I hiked Everest. I mean, I'm 43 and I'm going on 74. I mean, it's not good.
If I fall out, I'm O positive. Or I think I'm.
I don't even know what I am.
I don't either.
What I am.
Yeah. I'm K neutral. That's what I am. but I'm singling the four clubhouse at 2-1. Ran a strong effort last out and has a history winning second off the layoff. And sometimes it's not about what the trainer does well. It's about the horse, what the horse does well here. So guess Lescano up, who sticks with him after the last effort. I think this one is loaded headed into this race. So I'm a stone cold single on the four clubhouse at 2-1. What about you, Matthew?
I he's a hard horse to get around. He's had success at this level. He runs well. His speed figures are consistently above where everybody else is in this race. Makes a lot of sense to single. I'm going to be a little cute and use him and two other horses. I don't like going more than three deep when using a horse that's a favorite. The fact that he's 2-1, I don't know if you end up getting 2-1, he might end up going off at a lower price. But I don't feel allergic to necessarily using other horses in addition to a 2-1 here. So he's absolutely on my ticket for all the reasons you mentioned. And he's a horse that I remember him getting dropped all the way down in class at Saratoga this summer. It is an interesting thing because he would, ran in the Jimmy Wingfield, ran in the Gotham. I mean, this is a horse that was stakes placed and all of a sudden drops into a 25 claimer at Saratoga for Todd. And I mean, towered over the field in form. And I thought, man, is this like a lemon? Like, does Todd see something? This horse, like, maybe he's not good anymore or what? And then he comes back. He wins that race easily, gets claimed, not surprisingly, and then comes back with a couple of questionable performances. And I'm like, maybe Todd really just unloaded a horse that he thought was kind of used up. But then the horse has gotten totally back on track and has run some really nice races the last three times out. So I think he's a perfectly good horse, and those speed figures I think are real. I will also be including another horse who should be very prominent in the early pace, which is number 5, Upside Potential for Linda Rice. This is a horse that was claimed out of the Chad Brown barn in a $40,000 maiden claimer in debut, which the horse won easily, basically in gate-to-wire fashion, and now is in Linda's barn and is firing off 5 furlong bullets. So that's a horse that I think has some serious speed and who could be prominent up on the front end. And then the other one is the number 3, Pineapple Man, 6-1. This is a horse that's coming out of the claiming 25 victory and maybe making a similar drop to what Clubhouse did, maybe not quite as dramatic, but was kind of running against a pretty decent allowance company and then dropped all of a sudden, got the win from Mike Maker's barn, got claimed by Michelle Gianguillo, and is now kind of first off the claim and stepping up to the starter allowance level. Might be a little bit interesting, and at 6-1, maybe you catch a little bit of a price if there's an upset. So those are the three I'm using. Not getting too cute though in this race. Think it's going to be dominated on the front end as well.
Would you say that you're on the Pineapple Express,
ladies? My Mercedes.
I love it, and yes, very much so. That's appropriate. This horse, actually, that horse now needs to win this race. Yeah. We need to have Mr. Nice Guy, and then Pineapple Man win like the first two legs of of the sequence.
This late pick five. Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. I'm just amazed. Listen, how can it lose? That's all I'm saying now at that point is how can it lose? You know, it's like every sports betting parlay I've ever made. It's like, oh, this is the greatest shit I ever wrote. There's no way this loses. All right, let's move on. Let's go race 7, 8 furlong, 62,500. 62,500, I guess. Non-winners of 2-something on the dirt. This was a little bit of a mind fuck here, which I play the chalk here. I need to single. But this is also a race that looks like it could fall to an off-pace horse. And Matthew, if you remember my resolution, I do not single closers anymore. I won't do it. That Smoky White Devil is no longer part of my life. I will not single closers anymore. So the natural thing to do here is to take the other horses I think could run from off the pace and then you omit the 4-5 favorite from my ticket. I'm getting cute. That's right. I'm getting just precious. Just look at me.
Look at us. Hey, look at us.
Look at us.
Huh?
Who would have thought?
Not me.
I think getting precious is way more insulting than getting cute. Quite possibly. What'd you think of this race?
Similar thoughts to you. It's funny. I think both of us, we're kind of zigging where the other zags in every other race. So I'm singling here and I didn't want to be clear. I went into this race going, I'm not singling Blazing Sevens. Like there's no way. And then the more I looked at it, I just started maybe not having quite as much confidence in some of the other runners. I do think, you know, there are a couple who do certainly make some sense. What strikes me about Blazing Sevens, two things. One, this horse has trained and recorded 13 official workouts leading up to this 2024 debut. This horse is ready to roll. This is not a repeat of last year's Fountain of Youth, where this horse turned an absolute dud. And Chad even said, the horse isn't cranked. The horse is, you know, next time out, it's going to be the one where it runs better. And he did. And then he ran a really good Preakness, much better Preakness than I thought he was going to run. And so he's really cranked up. I think he's more cranked up than the other Chad horse. The other thing is he's been working out with Sierra Leone in the mornings. And that kind of made a little bit of an impact on me, considering that Sierra Leone's one of the top, two or three, you know, Derby horses right now, you know, at least in terms of contenders and in terms of form. You know, you might not like him in the race for his running style, but, you know, he's a talented colt. And I just feel like Blazing Sevens, you know, his only time winning going a mile or his only time running going a mile was winning the Grade One Champagne, admittedly in the slop, but that was an impressive effort. And he's getting Lasix for the first time. Let's get, you know, you get, again, Manny's aboard. And, you know, I can't use any other horse other than him if I'm playing the sequence. So I ultimately landed on singling Blazing Sevens in this one. But I'm interested where you're going as an alternative because I think a lot of those horses could make some really logical sense.
Yeah. By the way, with Blazing Sevens, have you ever seen a more bumped horse in the in its racing history?
It's insane.
I don't
know.
The
only one I can think of is like Croupy because Croupy used to have all those issues early in his career. But you're right. Like, it isn't just a one-off thing. Like it is, it's a trend. And that's always concerning when you see a horse have like bumped at start, stumbled at break, bobbled. Like when you see those notes just repeatedly come up, you're like, Jesus, like it's not that this horse can't catch a break. Is this horse is its own worst enemy a lot of times.
Yeah, that was what scared me. That was what scared me, and it pushed me to two different horses here. I'm going to use, I guess, the coupled entry, but I'm most interested in the first half of it, the one Power Seeker at 6-1. Mm-hmm. You know, I get two for the price of one here. I get, you know, a horse that has one of the better closing kicks in this race, and, you know, that's the name of the game from a pace standpoint, I think. Find other closers that can maybe beat Blazing Sevens. That's what I'm looking for. And it has the benefit of a stablemate to maybe set him up. And then I'm using the 3 Artorias at 2-1. Did I toss the 4-5 to use the 2-1? You bet your sweet ass I did. If you believe Briz Pace figures, that this is the biggest closing kick in the race, or at least showed the strongest closing kick last out. Plus, this is another opportunity to do a straight other chatting, as I like to call it. You know, when I like to hang out in hotel rooms, I do what's called straight Winnie the Pooh in, where I'm just naked from the waist down. When I'm playing Naira races, I'm straight other chatting, where I'm just, it's the equivalent of being naked from the waist down. As it's been my first opportunity to other chad, maybe I'm going to, you know, I'm going to the well maybe one too many times here. Doing this.
Well, I think we're gonna keep going to the well on the other chad here. And
September, right?
Yeah, I don't mind it. I mean, I took a really long look at Artorias, and I even debated singling Artorias. Because I do think that horse is that good. I ultimately went back to the fact he's had fewer workouts leading up to this one than and they've had roughly the same amount of time off. Said a couple, you know, fewer workouts leading up to it. Maybe is not all the way cranked, but maybe is. I mean, maybe doesn't need to. You know, that's the other thing is sometimes we can overanalyze how much a horse works out. Some horses need to work themselves into shape and are notoriously difficult to get into shape. Other horses, you get them out there 2-3 times off the layoff, they're ready to roll and they're back in shape and they can naturally hold a race weight. You know, and so you never know. Every horse is unique in that regard. But those are two very logical alternatives. And when I was thinking about spreading in this race, those were the two that I was looking at. So makes total sense.
All right. Had a little panic there. My mic came unconnected. How about you can hear me, right?
I can hear you just fine.
Okay, good. All right. Yeah. So I'm with you. I'm with you with Artorias. It's my, you know, I feel high and mighty tossing a 4-5 off my ticket in you know, the name of a 2-1 here. Oh, well,
a lot of people are going to be like me in single Blazing Sevens. And if you can beat Blazing Sevens, even with a 2-1 horse, that's going to be a big payout if you hit this race.
Dude, this horse, it's so concerning because Blazing Sevens is just that damn trouble magnet. Some of these things are outside of his control. You know, it's just, you know, it's just William H. Macy of a horse. It's just a cooler. Race 8 furlongs, $150,000. The Dangers Hour Stakes. And that's right, we're back on the green stuff. The turf. I don't single closers, so this has put me in the position again where I'd be like, F that Chad horse and give me that other Chad again. As the kids would say. I think the kids would probably say what I just said was sus. Quite honestly, you'll have to consult Sarah and see if I'm sus. What'd you think of this race?
A really interesting one. And I'm willing to kind of play this race the same way I played race 6 with Clubhouse, where like I include the favorite, but also two other horses, because I don't think you have to spread too deep to find the winner here. And so I'm going to be using the number 3 Spirit of St. Louis. I'm going to be using the number 5 Equitize, and I'm going to be using the number 7 Dakota Gold. Equitize, in my eyes, is the other Chad that makes the most sense here. Mason, who is the other Chad who's in the race, that horse has just not been the same since coming back from that Coolmore Turf Mile back in 2022. And I need that horse to show me that he can go back to running 99, 100, 101 buyer speed figures, because right now it looks like he's topped out at 93. And that's kind of his new normal. And this is a race that's going to feature a decent pace too. So I do think it sets up nicely for closers. Equitize, in my opinion, is kind of a classic other Chad in that he's a horse that if you look at the buyer speed figures, may not quite fit, super young, lightly raced, but clearly Chad thinks this horse has talent because this horse won in debut back in March 2023. goes to the bench for 8 months, and Chad brings him back in the grade two Hill Prince in his second start. I mean, he never does that. And the horse doesn't run particularly well, goes to the bench, comes back at Tampa, blows out allowance company, was entered in the Maker's Mark Mile, scratched out of that race to come up here. I don't know. This just feels like a classic other Chad situation. And so he should be sitting just behind the early speed in this race, behind Mason and behind another horse. And so he should be sitting no worse than third. I think he gets that nice trip. And then Dakota Gold is kind of, I think, the closer that I would rather use in this race is a first-time gelding for Danny Gargan with Dylan Davis aboard. This horse has some nice races to run back to from last summer that are absolutely good enough to win in this spot. He caught a wet turf course the last three times in 2023. So, you know, I don't know what to necessarily make of all those efforts because it was a little bit of a mixed bag. But I think we're going to have a nice turf course on Saturday. He's been training beautifully for Gargan down in South Florida, 6-1, like that price. And then Spirit of St. Louis, who's your morning line favorite for the other, who's the main Chad, is facing open company for the first time, has only faced New York Breds to this point, should be sitting more of a mid-pack trip. But like I said, I think Dakota Gold might be the better closer.
Yeah, so I used Pioneering Spirit. I used Dakota Gold. Those were both horses that I was definitely all about. And then I used Mason, the 5-1, the other Chad in here, which I don't even, if I was comparing this to Winnie the Poohin earlier, I don't even know what like other Winnie the Poohin would be. So, but there's plenty of back class here. And this one won the grade three poker, should be stocking the early pace here. I think ideally sits kind of a first run kind of trip. But I could also see the reason for dropping him off the ticket and for in favor of the just straight other Chad. This is like the special reserve cognac, the other Chad, you know, it's like the Hennessy Black.
It is. And remember, we saw in that Maker's Mark Mile last week, we saw the other Chad in Butte Cache get the win. So listen, I mean, that's just if the other Chad is Winnie the Poohing, the other Chad is like running around completely nude in Central Park or something like that. Like that is, you know, like that's when you're single to that. That's when, you know, you've really hit kind of the peak performance. So it's a really interesting race though. I think it's a race where you can, I made a comment when in my analysis on Naira Betts that I think Spirit of St. Louis is going to have a really good 2024 campaign. But if you're going to play against this horse, this is the race to do it.
Yeah. The spot to give it a shot. All right, here we go. Race 9, the last leg where hopefully we make that kind of money that lets us speak to the help like this.
Hey, don't rub on that. You block that. You understand? That's alpaca. That's $25,000 alpaca. You block that shit. Right. You don't rub on. Put the club soda on there.
That lets us be so bougie that we can say things like this.
Hide the money, y'all. There's poor people around. With your broke ass.
I'm talking the final leg on 420.
Scrambling, gambling, I must rock with mandolins and violins. We just sitting here trying to win, trying not to sin. High off weed and lots of gin.
Hopefully we'll be high off weed and lots of gin. Matthew, this is a sprint race. What do I think will happen?
The pace is going to collapse and the winner is going to come from the clouds.
Mm-hmm, that is correct. I think the race will melt down. I got three off-pace horses I'm throwing at this problem. What do you think?
I think that's definitely possible. And, you know, I think it's always a question mark with so many horses coming off significant layoffs. Because a lot of these horses didn't run over the winter at all. And they're coming back, they're turf horses, and they didn't run on the dirt at all, or they didn't go down to Florida or anywhere else to run. And so they're running those horses always come out ready to roll, and they come out with a lot more speed. So one of the concerns that I always have is I misjudge the pace scenario because on paper it might look one way, but then once these horses come out and start running, it's like everybody is like running to recess for the first time all year. And it's like people are just sprinting out of their minds because these horses are so excited to be running. So I could totally see that sort of a scenario. emerge. And I went really deep here. So I went five deep in this leg, and I tossed the favorite, the Clement horse, on the rail, because I just thought this horse is coming off a layoff, and the rail in a 6 furlong turf sprint is usually not where I'd like to be. So I went with a few different options. The number two, Busia, is a horse that I think is actually, and I know this for a fact, is kind of more geared towards the turf, and is they were thrilled to get a win over this winter on the dirt. But this is a horse that is strictly for the turf, and I think you're going to see a perk up there. I did ultimately use a horse like Concerti, the number three, who I think is going to be a huge speed factor in this race, getting Lasix for the first time and blinkers on, and could just end up being the speed of the speed and taking him gate to wire. Mike Maker's horse, a stone's throw away, 9-2, the number five, also coming off an even longer layoff, but man, has been training really well leading up to this race, has a really nice bullet leading up to this at 48 second flat, first to 34 on April 16th. And that's one who, again, should be part of an early pace scenario, getting Lasix for the first time. Dusk, the number eight horse for Horatio De Paz. I always like Horatio's horses. They always run really honest. Another horse that will be present in the early part of the race, but does not necessarily need the lead, getting Lasix for the first time at 6-1. And then the final horse I'll mention, and this is more of a hunch play, is Rument, the number 10 horse at 15-1, getting blinkers on for Kerry Bryan. This is more of a hunch play because it's more just my trust in Kerry. Kerry really knows turf horses, and she's got a big background in steeplechase. She knows how horses run on the grass. This horse is only run on the dirt. There's not necessarily a ton of turf pedigree here, but it is a Munnings baby, so you know sprinting is what this horse is going to want to do. And I just, like I said, it's more of a hunch play. This horse has been working out beautifully over the synthetic track down at Fair Hills, and I just have a hunch that this horse might run really big.
I spread out three deep with horses I thought were going to be closing. I kicked it off with a six succulent, 12-1. I know this one has suck in the name, but I've always thought that this horse has had some talent and just hasn't gotten his picture taken very often. Of those times it took him to win its first race, I'll embarrassed to say how many times I was on that horse to finally break its maiden. First time facing winners, but remember, it's always better to do the donking than to get donked on in these final legs. So I'm using the six succulent at 12-1. Then I'm using the nine Lady Thornton at 15-1. A winner against open competition, cutting back in distance. The cutback might not bode well for the horse, but the run style sure does. So I'm using it. And then I use the 12. You should be dancing. I don't know why I said it like that. It's 10-1. I think that this is a horse that just needs firm turf and a pace to run into. And I think You Should Be Dancing finally gets both of those things in this race. It's also tough to call anything in this race with four also eligibles here, because any random sequence of scratches could put just a whole different scenario forward with some of these.
Yeah, I mean, if a horse like Graham draws into the race, then that's very tough. The number 16 horse, who's stakes placed. That's against open company, and even Highway Harmony at 5-1 for Jorge Abreu, I think is, that's another speedball. So that would certainly add up some of the closing potential in this race. But, I think this is interesting because so many times when we get together, we talk through a sequence and we're in agreement and we're playing that Paul Rudd drop a lot. And this time, we're really not. We're kind of switching things up pretty regularly.
This is back to like old school days. Like this is like, you know, we had our time of agreeing. We like that lasted for a little bit. Now we're back to our core where we don't agree about shit anymore. which I'm kind of cool with, because it means because anytime that you and I agree on something, it means that I'm wrong. It seems it's because you still have things that you don't agree with me on, and you are right. But the things that you and I agree on, I'm wrong somehow and mush us both into
So
this is a conversation for my therapist, I think.
So I want to share, just because we've not been on the turf, obviously, up here in New York in a little while, but I do want to share some track stats for how the turf was playing in the fall meet at Aqueduct before we went off turf. So in two-turn turf races, okay, there were 51 of those, and 43% of winners came from more than three lengths off the pace at the half-mile mark. So going two turns, the turf absolutely plays to closers, and you only actually saw 17% gate-to-wire winners out of those two-turn turf races. On the one-turn turf sprints, 43% of winners were gate-to-wire, and only 8.7% of winners closed from more than three lengths off the pace at the second call. So that's not unusual. I mean, that's kind of what roughly turf sprints look like at a lot of tracks, that, you know, that it's usually more of a, you know, gate to wire or tracking trip. That's the winning one. But, you know, it is, I think first, I appreciate your angle of thinking this pace might melt down in this last race, because I also think first race back for a lot of these horses, condition is going to be a huge issue. So I do think fatigue is something that's going to set in that last for a long half for a long. So I could totally see that happening.
Come on. I don't know why I use that. I just simply, now it's time to wrap up our tickets. I'm glad we're all hyped for that. Matthew, here, actually, I'll go ahead. I'll wrap up my ticket first. Let's go first leg. I was the 2-3-4-5-6. Second leg, single to the 4. Third leg, 1-3. Fourth leg, 1-6-7. And then in the fourth leg, I was 3 deep. Sorry, the fifth leg, I was 3 deep again. 6-9-12. A $45 ticket at the 50-cent base. I was the opposite end of the spectrum that Matthew spoke of earlier. Matthew, let's hear your ticket.
Sure. I started things off with a single. So I went 1 in the first leg. I went 3-4-5 in leg 2. Then I went back to a single with the number 5 in leg 3. Played 3-5-7 in race 8 in leg 4. And then the final race, I went 2-3-5-8-10. And that is a $22.50 ticket on the 50-cent base.
It's highly sexual is what that is. It's a sexy ticket that you just made, sir. I don't know about you. I'm excited. I'm excited to get back on the grass on 420, or I guess to maintain with the grass on 420. I guess would be the best way to put that.
It's going to be a lot of fun. And I saw somebody say, what a great promotion by Naira. And I was like, if only we actually planned it for that. Like, this was not like intentional much as we just fell into the spring being like the perfect date.
Welcome to the happy accidents of calendars. Good, sir.
Exactly.
That's exactly what's going down. All right. Matthew, anything else you wanted to shout out before we get out of here?
Hey, just make sure to, if you're on Twitter at all, make sure to give me a follow at Failed to Menace. And got a lot of great content up on Naira Bets. If you're getting ready for the Kentucky Derby, we have a slew of great stuff up there, including some analysis of how trends have been playing the last 25 years at Churchill Downs for the Kentucky Derby, Kentucky Oaks. So a lot of content there. And then obviously all the Keeneland stuff, Aqueduct, $2,500 hit and split promotion this Saturday for this late pick five sequence. So if you play it on Naira Bets, you can opt in. We add $2,500 to the pool. If you hit it, you get to split that extra $2,500 with the other people who hit. And having seen the data behind the scenes, that usually adds, on average, about $300 to $500 to people's winning tickets. So it's a nice way to make a winner a little bit more profitable.
There you go. $300 more than you had, son. That's the way to think about it. That's going to do it for us here at the Notorious OTB. We will catch you next week. Oh, man, it's derby time. There's going to be all sorts of just derby stuff to talk about and random sequences to play. Oakland's dwindling down, so I'm sure we'll stick our necks into Oakland next week. So stick around, check it out. We'll be back with more Notorious OTB, brought to you by the Sports Gambling Podcast Network. We'll see you next time.